Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
Excited when it comes to these new series that God began to stir in my heart. We just finished a series, those who've been with us, concerning the covenant prayer. I know that has impacted your prayer life, my prayer life. I think that God, when he brings a word to us, it is what we call an on-time word. It's exactly what we need as we continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now we're going into a series that I'm excited about because, first of all, I know this is something that God has inspired in my heart, and I know that God has already prepared our hearts that we might be prepared to receive the word of God in faith and obedience. And that is, we're going to focus on the family. The theme is going to be biblically fueling the faith of families. Let me say that again. Biblically fueling. Fueling is just a metaphor I'm using for being able to have impact, for being able to enrich, being able to encourage the faith of our families. Genesis 12 and 3 is going to be our foundational scripture because it's a powerful verse for the body of Christ, for the church. And it says this, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Boy, he's talking to Abraham. Now, since you and I became Christians and we're growing in our faith, we should have a heart for our families. We should have a desire to see our entire families brought into the family of God. When something good happened in your life, you want to share it with other people. And that's the attitude we should have toward our families. This series of lessons on biblically fueling the faith of our families is designed to provide meaning. That is, being able to embrace God's redemptive plan for our family. That's what Genesis 12 and 3, when it speaks to Abraham, it's talking about God's redemptive plan for our family. But not only must we have the meaning of what God has revealed in Scripture as it relates to his family and our family, is that we need to have motivation in our faith and trusting God for the salvation, deliverance, and spiritual empowerment of our family. You know, from the beginning of time, that's always been on the heart of God, even as revealed in the Old Testament experiences and expressions, and also in the New Testament experiences and expressions. God always had in his original plan to reach families over the face of the earth. And when we bring that down to a smaller sub-focus, it would be each Christian focusing on God's purpose for their families. And as a result, we have a heart of seeing God's redemptive work within the context of our family. In our foundational scripture, Genesis 12 and 3, it reveals God's original intent. And then in the New Testament, it confirms it because in Genesis 12, 3, it specifically speaks to Abraham. But listen to what Galatians 3:16 says concerning that which was spoken to Abraham. The New Testament says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not into seeds as of many, but as of one, into thy seed, which is Christ. Hallelujah. God was really looking at Jesus Christ when he spoke that promise relative to Abraham. And Galatians 3:14 confirms it again, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Boy, God already had a redemptive plan from the first beginning of time when sin came into the world. It was God's will for all families of the earth to have the knowledge of God's word brought into their lives. And then in Psalms 22 and 27 and 28, the psalmist said, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nation. God is concerned about every people group on the face of the earth, And God is concerned about those of us who come in his family, and then we have what we call our relatives, our family members. And I believe that we have to begin to get back as believers to trusting God to bring salvation, to bring deliverance, and to bring spiritual empowerment within our families. And that's what this series of teaching we're going to focus on. Now, it is clearly ordained and ordered in Scripture of the meaning of God's redemptive plan of salvation for all families of the earth. We just looked at that in those scriptures we just read. But there must be a motivation, and that's what I would encourage us. There must be an inspiration. There must be a desire. There must be prayers. There must be a faith to believe God and trust him for his hand to manifest within our families. So a good starting point for us in the motivation of grace when it comes to our families is in Acts chapter 10. So if you take your Bibles and turn there in Acts chapter 10, and I want to read verse 34 and 35 because Peter had to have an experience with God in order to give expression that represents God's truth to a people group that was, from Peter's perspective, not considered to be a part of God's family. And that is the way that Jews looked at Gentiles during that particular time. But after Peter had that experience with God, with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, listen to what Peter said in Acts 10, 34 and 35. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." That is a powerful experience for an apostle who God has raised up to be used as his representative. God is touching every ethnic group. God is calling every ethnic group into his family. And God is calling every believer to be motivated to trust him for the salvation, for the deliverance, and for the spiritual empowerment of our families. So let's learn some lessons from Peter's experience. I believe the first thing we can learn from Peter is this: serving and success leads to heart shaping of family. When you and I are serving God and we are having what we call success in that serving of God, it should lead our hearts toward our families. When we begin in chapter 9, we see Peter's ministry right after Paul's conversion, and Paul began to go out in ministry. The writer shifts back to Peter, the apostle, in verse 32 of chapter 9. Let's look at the scripture. It says, "Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all the parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. Peter said to him, 'Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Rise up and make up your bed.' Then he rose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord." This is a miracle. This is Peter carrying out the good works that Jesus carried out when he did ministry. This man's miracle was not attributed to Peter, but Peter makes it clear that Jesus Christ heals you. And because the focus is on Jesus, the result is not just a miracle to a man, but the Bible says, "So all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him." It is a miracle that led to evangelism. You know, so often people come and they want the gifts of the Spirit, and a lot of time we want to allow entertainment to enter that moment, and people want to come to see something rather than recognize that how much of this power, how much of these miracles, how much of these signs and wonders that we're claiming happening in the church is motivating and manifesting a spirit of evangelism in the church, and we see the fruit of it by people coming to saving grace in Jesus Christ. It doesn't stop there. Peter's having great success in ministry. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in the upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and the widow stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. She had a great reputation of being generous, being loving, being kind, serving and being blessings to others. And so people are making a reference to all the love that this woman displayed in her lifetime. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat down. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Here again, we have a miracle, but the miracle does not entertain, but it impacts. Because now, as a result of the miracle, the Bible said many believed on the Lord. Do we want to just see miracles, or do we want to see motivation for evangelism? Do we just want to see signs and wonders at the church, or do we want to see signs and wonders so we can be motivated to go back to our families and to do the work of an evangelist, to be a witness for Christ? And so serving and success leads to heart shaping for families. A lot of times when we look at people and they look at ministry and they look at their success, they are so disconnected from their families. They are arrogant. They have set an attitude against their families as if they are less, as if they are dysfunctional. There are times we have to set boundaries, but we can set boundaries and still believe God for the salvation, for the deliverance, and for the spiritual empowerment of our families. Ephesians 4:32, Paul said it like this: "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave us." Notice what Paul said: the motivation of forgiving others is what Jesus have done for me. And when we bring that into the context of our families, sometimes we're disconnected because of what? Of hurt, of things that they said, of things that they done. But we got to remember that God is using us to serve him and giving us success so that he can shape our hearts, so we can be a witness, so we can reflect his love, so we can reflect his grace and his mercy in the context of our relatives, our family members. In Romans 2 and 4, the scripture says, it's God's kindness that leads to repentance. Notice, what caused repentance? Not judgment, not condemnation, not thinking I am better than my family members because they are not in Christ, because they are not living according to the light of truth. No, it's the kindness, it's my attitude, it's my love, it's my mercy that's extended to them. It's the encouragement that I bring to the table. It's the fact that I'm reaching out to them to let them know that I understand that this is going on in your life. It was a result of a bad choice you made, but can I pray for you? What's that? Kindness. Another thing I think we can learn from Peter is this, that God's unseen hand is preparing hearts. That God's unseen hand is preparing hearts. Now, Peter is having great success in ministry, But then the Bible goes now, and the Bible begins to allow us to look at where God is beginning to lead Peter and how God is beginning to lead Peter. And God is leading Peter in a way that is going to connect with where he is already working in a family that, according to Peter, he would never consider this family. He would never cross boundaries that's established by tradition and culture with this particular family. But what Peter don't realize, that while God is working with him, God is also working with a family that is a Gentile family. In Acts 10 verse 9, the next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Peter has no idea if God is about to interrupt his thinking, his traditional mindset, his cultural upbringing. God is about to radically destroy all of that, because God wants to use Peter in an extended family that's outside of Judaism, that's outside of Jewish culture, and he has to have someone who's willing to be bold enough, have enough faith to believe that God can reach any heart when he works on that heart. And so Peter is having this vision. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, verse 10. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And so heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descended to him, let down. So Peter is having this moment with God. It is a supernatural vision. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of that. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything common or unclean." What he was doing, following his Jewish dietary laws, his customs, traditions. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven. What is God doing? God is at work in a way that Peter has no idea. God is speaking to a man by the name of Cornelius. God is giving Cornelius instructions on how to connect with an apostle by the name of Peter, because I'm going to bring you all together. And so we have to remember that God's unseen hand is preparing hearts. And sometimes when it comes to our family, we have written off people as if though they cannot be saved, or they will never come to the things of God. That's your observation. That's your conclusion. But nothing is too hard for God. And so there are times that God is already working, and we have no idea that he's working with our relatives. He's speaking to their hearts. There are circumstances that God is working in the midst of in their life, and we don't realize they are crying out. They're searching. They're looking, and they may not be coming to us. But at some point, God's going to bring a connection, just like he does with Cornelius and Peter. In John chapter 4, verse 35, when the woman and Jesus was at the well, Jesus crossed cultural barriers. He ministered to that woman in such a way that even though she was broken, even though she was shamed, and all these things going on in her life, Jesus made her feel like she mattered. She had significance, and she had value. The disciples that were with Jesus would not have operated and responded to that woman in that way. But Jesus says to them in John 4:35, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest." What he's talking about? He's talking about the Samaritan city. He's letting disciples know that right here in Samaria, there's a harvest field for the kingdom of God. There are people's hearts that are ready to hear the gospel, God's redemptive plan for mankind. And his disciples, they're right there, and Jesus is letting them know that the place and the people that they try to avoid is the very people that God has prepared to come into the family of God. And then in John 4:38, Jesus said, I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you are entered into their labors. In other words, I've already been working with these people. I've already been using people with these particular people. People that you don't like, people that you don't associate with, people that you've written off, people that you would have never thought about reaching for my kingdom. He said, I've already been working with them. And now I want to use you to go and harvest where others have already sowed seeds and where others have prayed, where others have trusted me to do a work among. And now I've raised you up to use you. And how many of you know God does that within our families? And another lesson I believe we can learn from Peter is this, that God is straightening the kinks to grace in our hearts. God is straightening the kinks to grace in our hearts. Just to use an example of a water hose, you were using a water hose and all of a sudden you can move a certain way and there's what we call a kink can get in the hose. And all of a sudden the water is there and it's coming, but it's being hindered. And sometimes there are things in our heart that's hindering us for the flow of grace to come out of us to others. We have received grace, but sometimes there's a kink in our heart that we're not willing to give that grace. And so when we look at Peter, God, by this vision, he began to straighten the kink in Peter's heart. And the Bible says, verse 17 of chapter 10, now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, now look, he's gotten the word through this vision, this dream that God gives him. He don't quite understand it. Here God has already been working in a way that Peter had no idea that God was working. And God has sent these individuals to Peter's house. And so when they come, and the Bible said that the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking. Thank God for the way he works in our heart when we're willing to say, Lord, I don't quite understand it. And Peter didn't quite understand the dream, but he was open to God giving him understanding. And as a result, the Spirit of God began to speak to him and said, arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Who sent them? The Holy Spirit sent those men to Peter. The Holy Spirit sent men who did not look like Peter, did not think like Peter, did not live like Peter. Men who had a total different upbringing than Peter. These men had not come because they've been practicing Judaism. And even though Cornelius had some reverence for the God of the Jews or the God of Israel, he did not practice Judaism as the law would have required him. But yet the Holy Spirit is speaking. Saints, we got to be careful, because when the Holy Spirit speaks, he's speaking because God is already preparing our heart to get the kinks out so the grace can flow toward our families. And the Bible says, then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by the holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. Now that's powerful there. He invited a Gentile into his living space, into that home, that residence. That tells me right there, Peter has the kink open and the grace can flow now. That which would have hindered the flow of grace has now been removed. And now the Bible says, on the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. What he's done? He's called together his family. He had enough faith to believe that what God has spoke to him and instructed him to do, he acted out in faith and obedience, and he reaped the fruit of that because Peter shows up. What if Peter had decided that I'm not going to cross my traditional barriers and cultural barriers and racial barriers. I'm not going to be willing to cross that because I'll get opposition, because I'll be ridiculed, I'll be persecuted. No, Peter understands God's redemptive plan in a new way now. That's what's happening now. God is showing Peter the redemptive plan is not limited to Israel. But God's redemptive plan of grace and salvation and deliverance and spiritual empowerment is for all people group. And thank God that Peter was willing to be obedient and not delay it, and God would have to use someone else, but Peter was willing to be obedient. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted it up and said, stand up, I myself am also a man. Look at the humility. Peter would not allow this man to worship him, to bow down to him. Here's this great apostle. And I love it the way we look at the apostles and the humility of that anointing, and the fruit of their apostleship is so evident among us. And in the body of Christ, a lot of time when we get these titles, we become so arrogant, we become so disconnected. We think we are better and we are greater, and we begin to take our authority not to become greater servants, but to dominate and rule and exalt ourselves and build our kingdoms and have all of these luxuries and things in our lives. And we forget that we have to remind people that we are human. We are believers. We are saved by the same redemptive grace in which you are saved. And if this redemptive grace, God did not give it so that I can gain for myself, but God gave it so that I can go out and extend it to my family, so I can find inroads into where God is at work within my family. And a lot of time, the major kink in the mind of believers when it comes to their family is their attitude, what they have set up in their mind and how they perceive, how they look at their family system. And not knowing that the day that God saved you, the day that you experienced God's redemptive plan of grace through faith in Jesus Christ, was the day that God was beginning to work in your family, in my family system. In Deuteronomy 8:2, the Bible talks about the family dynamics of the faith. It says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his command. Sometimes the test and the challenge in our family system is so that God can bring humility out of us. In Deuteronomy 8:3, he said he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. What is it to have all of this wealth and all of this material stuff, and we have extended family members? We got cousins and we got relatives, we got uncles, we got aunts, we got people who have not experienced the redemptive plan of God's saving grace. And here we are, spiritually whole, spiritually built up, spiritually empowered. And now God is speaking to us. How can my faith influence my family system? Peter is in a larger context because it's the family of God that God is directing him into. But in a smaller context, the principle is the same, that God biblically fueling the faith of families.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. Located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.